Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose. Presented by acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is Everyday Spirituality, Foundational Practices for the Seeker Within. For those of you who are new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She's also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone. Gratitude and kindness and the golden rule are the backbone of everyday spirituality, and these little principles have been recognized at the heart of all of the world's spiritual traditions. These core foundational practices, along with the elimination of negative thinking and the consideration of our motivations behind our actions, these are mental habits that change our lives for the better. They help us to deepen our spirituality, which helps us to improve our psychic ability. And then we find that we are already in our own true purpose in our lives. But before I go into this topic any further, I always like to begin our show with our spiritual agreement. And so I ask that you now make this together with me. And it was a gift from my mentor, teacher, and friend, Jana Massey. So please join me in this, if you will. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together, we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Well, thank you so much, Tony, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Josephine. There are a couple of messages that we received that I'd love to read out. The first is from Melanie, and it's a little long, so I'm going to paraphrase it. And she writes, Josephine, beloved, I seriously would not have survived in the blessed way I have if not for your incredible offerings. I carry you and your love with me always, sending gratitude, grace, and love. Melanie.
Oh my goodness, Melanie, thank you for that lovely message.
And the second is from Anna, and she writes in about the self-love video on the blog, which is accessible at stepintomagicwithme.blogspot.com or Josephine Lang's blog. And Anna writes, this YouTube video is so great. I can't tell you in words. It's a perfect video. I can feel the love of your audience. They see authenticity, they see human, they see knowledge, they see comfortableness, they see you. Congratulations. This is Christmas early. Love, Anna.
Oh, thank you, Anna, so much. You are such an angel in our lives. I really, really appreciate it. Beautiful.
Yeah, they were really beautiful comments.
And, you know, what? There's another thing, too, that I'd really like to do right at this moment, if that's all right with you, Tony.
I'd sure.
Just love to extend that, you know, warm hello and thank you to my listeners in Chicago, because I've got a bunch of them there, and it's so nice. And it's just really wonderful to have you with us, as along with everyone else around the nation and throughout the various places in the world. It's just, I'm so grateful to have you with us. It really makes a beautiful, beautiful community for us all. So thank you.
Josephine, towards the end of last week, you started to talk about spirit guides and totem animals, and I'm really quite interested in this. And so I wondered if you could just say a little bit more before going into tonight's topic.
Oh, sure. I'd love to. So spirit guides are something that can really help us in our lives. I know for my own part, I've been tremendously assisted by my own spirit guide and guides. And we can access a much deeper part of ourselves and create for us greater knowing of how to proceed in our soul journey when we work with our spirit guides. And if you don't already have a spirit guide, you can ask and the spirit guide will come to you. And I usually like to do this in meditation, and so I'll just start off with giving this as a little homework assignment. It's sort of like a little exercise that you can do on your own to meet your guide. And what you want to do is just get into a quiet, comfortable place where it's private and where you won't be interrupted. And perhaps it's a place out in nature. Maybe it's a place in your own home or in your backyard, or maybe it's even sitting out in the car. Doesn't really matter where. Some sort of a sanctuary for you. And then just ask for a spirit guide to appear to you. And it could come in any form. It could be in a human form or an animal or even a ball of light. And I like to begin this when I'm getting ready to ask for a spirit guide to come to me. I always like to clarify with an agreement similar to that spiritual agreement that we make at the beginning of every one of these shows. So we want to ask for the highest good. We want to ask for something that is in accordance with our true purpose. And then we want to just trust what comes to us. And then I will usually greet the spirit guide and ask for a name if I can get a name from the spirit guide that has come. Then I might do something like ask, do you have a message for me? Because if we ask for a message, then something will occur to us in our head, and then just trust it, take the first thing that comes. And the more we practice at this, the better we get at it. So at the beginning, we might not feel like we get much, or we might just get an impression of some sort. That's great. Just go with it. Whatever comes is a great idea to just honor it, and then more will come. And sometimes we might have another way that we can look at spirit guides is that sometimes we might have what people will call a totem animal. And this is an animal that might show up in our lives regularly out in nature or in our own imagination or in our dream world. It could be an animal that you have a particular affinity for. And sometimes it's more than one. I think that often people will have perhaps a mammal, maybe a bird, or maybe an insect or a fish. Any number of animals can come to us. For me, I've gotten the horse as one of my main totem animals. And when I dream of the horse or think of the horse or see the horse or have an encounter with a horse, often it speaks to me of my own true power, my personal power, you know, that power that arises up from deep within us. And it all of the horse, the image of the horse also speaks to me of freedom and of intuition and of joy. Additionally, I have the owl as a totem animal, and sometimes I'll go out at night into the yard and I'll just sit quietly. And almost inevitably, if I've been called out into the yard at night where I just have that feeling of going out, an owl will fly overhead. And that sort of reminds me that there is a higher perspective on that inner search within. Another totem animal that is very strong for me is the mountain lion. And with the mountain lion, I really feel that sense of self-preservation and self-protection. So I pay attention when that mountain lion shows up in my life. Another one that's really brought me a lot of joy is the hummingbird. It can really be a great source of inspiration and direction. And Carl Jung spoke about, you know, the Swiss psychologist, the founder of modern analytical psychology. He speaks about having active imaginations and talking with animals and with whatever spirit guides might come to us. And he also spoke of the ally, which can be a very large version of an animal. So that's another possible way to enter into this spirit guides idea or this totem animal idea. Sometimes we will go on shamanic journeys. We might get together with a group of people and maybe there's a drumming and we might do a little shamanic journeying. One of the greatest shamanic journeys that I ever had was with a fly as a guide. And so no animal is too insignificant or too small. A bat can be a great animal guide. A banana slug. I had a friend who had a banana slug for their totem animal. So it doesn't matter. Whichever comes is right for you. So look inside yourself and observe your own nature and see if there's perhaps an animal that harmonizes with that. And another thing that you can do is you can ask for a totem animal to come to you in a prayer, with a prayer. Or you can also program a dream to ask for, to make a statement. Tonight I will have a dream where I will meet my totem animal. That sort of thing. However you want to go about it, there's many ways for us to do it. And I just really encourage people to jump right in. It's a wonderful way to help us look within.
Josephine, I have a question which relates to what you were just saying then about Carl Jung. Didn't he say that images or animals, in terms of their meaning, it was both personal and universal. Like there was a universal dimension to, you know, the significance of each animal, but also there's like a purely personal dimension.
Absolutely, I think that's very, very true. And I think that, like, for instance, in my case with the horse, you know, I think that that image of power or intuition or freedom or joy can be a very universal image. I think that a lot of people look at horses and feel that way about them. But it's also very personal for me. And some animals might have a much more, you know, individual interpretation to a person. Like, for instance, the banana slug. One person might see that as being a very colorful, quiet, deep, in the soft places, in the shade, nurturing, gentle being. And the universal image of banana slug might be something entirely different. So I think that it's true. It's a great question, Tony.
Well, perhaps whilst we're talking about this, I could mention another way then, because a couple of years ago I wrote a story, a children's story, and then three animals appeared. And they all had the role of helping the protagonist in the story. So I guess you could think of them as being like allies or friends or helpers.
Absolutely.
And the first one was the she-wolf. And the second one was the seagull. And the third one was the spider. So I don't know if you've got anything to say about any of those.
Well, the wolf is a very wonderful image. Of course, she's in a pack, you know, so she has a lot of helpers right there with her. The seagull can soar high and see a lot, and some seagulls can, you know, rise above their communal work together to a little more solitary life. And then the spider, what a weaver she is, you know, bringing about changes and helping to balance the energy in the insect kingdom. Well, there's a lot of wonderful things you could think about any of those images. Well, that sounds like a great story.
Yeah, I'll share it with you one day.
I'd love to see that.
Well, thank you so much. That's been really
You're
valuable.
Welcome. So, we had a caller from Australia some time ago who spoke about the spirit or companion animal of the Maya. And many of our traditions around the world are rich with spirit. And he said that the Mesoamerican population has a very common experience, which he said was very like common sense and current to this day, where when you are born, there's an animal that's born at the same time as you are in the natal place where you were born, in the mountain of your lineage, he said, which I thought was a wonderful line, in the mountain of your lineage. And he said that this really informs you of your identity. And he reminded us that in the North American indigenous people's culture, we have many names of fairly famous individuals that also indicate that they had a rich tradition of this nature as well, like, for instance, Dancing Bull or Crazy Horse. And he said that the Maya believe in a twofold consciousness, that there's a waking consciousness that we experience during the day and a sleeping consciousness that we experience during the night, where we can enter into the form of our spirit companion animal, and then that animal can consort with the realm of the dead or with our ancestors. And he said that it can also communicate and experience events that are happening out in the hinterlands or the forest. And then when you wake up, your spirit comes back into your body and brings some of that with you. And that having a part of yourself living out there in the forest allows you to have what's out there in you, and it also allows what's in you to be out there. And that this lets us access information that can really help us with decision-making in our lives, which is a really important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that when the Maya see their spirit animal, which is typically a single individual animal, one animal that was born at the time when they were born, they pay very careful attention to the thoughts that they're having at that moment. Now, this might seem kind of exotic or extraordinary to us in our culture, but to those of us here in the West, but he said it's a very commonplace idea in Mesoamerica, the perception of the world, that sort of a perception of the world, because what happens to that animal in real time, in real life, happens to you and vice versa, and what happens to you happens to them. also it's a current contemporary belief and feeling, and it's a very deep and significant relationship with the animal companion spirit realm from the wisdom of South America. So I just wanted to share that with you all again, because I thought it was so fascinating and such a beautiful in-depth look into the spirit animal companion idea.
Well, as I hear you say that, it's making me wonder then whether or not being in regular communication with spirit guides or totem animals is a way of helping us keep on track, you know, with our spirituality, as a way of keeping that live and real for us.
I think most definitely it is. So one of the meditations that I've done in the past is to just check in with whatever spirit guide I happen to be harmonizing with at the moment. So that can be checking in with my angels in the morning, or it can be checking in with an image of a garden that I have and see how the garden is looking, or it can be checking in with a horse in my imagination, or it can be checking in with an owl or any number of animals that I might see, and just taking a moment to pause and use our imagination to just check in and see how the day looks. You know, is the horse running and free? Is the horse in good movement? Or is the garden burning? You know, I mean, it's a good idea to just take a little reading on our day. And then we can perhaps go ahead and act accordingly, perhaps change the pattern of the day to bring harmony to that inner check-in spot that we might use.
So that's very much like a dream interpretation, except you're doing it with the images that come in a guided meditation.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yes. So I'll just swing back around to our topic of the day, which is our spiritual practices. And we can cultivate these spiritual practices just like we would cultivate any habit in our lives, like the habits and the practices, the spiritual practices of meditation and prayer. And we've mentioned these quite a bit in previous months, so if you'd like some more information, just go to those radio archives there at the top menu of my website, stepintomagic.com, and that'll bring you around. You can listen to some of those ideas there. And these practices really help us to receive information and guidance from our higher self. They illuminate our life, and they really increase the love in the world. And Tony, maybe you can show our first slide of the evening today.
Certainly.
I love this little saying. This is from the Buddha, and it's, "Be a lamp unto yourself." In other words, let your own light shine from the inside of you to guide you. You know, we use a lamp at night to help us find our way. And he says, be a lamp unto yourself.
That's a great inspiring idea, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So as we move into, you know, our psychic ability really is a byproduct of our spiritual growth. And I think of our spiritual growth as being like the guard at the gate. When we have done our spiritual growth, then we are free to move deeper into our psychic ability. And as some of the gurus in India and some of the people who have really advanced along the lines of spiritual growth experience, these practices can really heighten our psychic experience in life to quite a high degree. In India, they refer to an advanced level of psychic ability as siddhis, S-I-D-D-H-I-S. And cities are like superpowers. These can be things like teleportation, being in two places at once, or manifestation, like what Sai Baba used to do with ash in his hand. Ram Dass, when he went to India, his guru knew all about Ram Dass's mother. And these psychic skills are not for show or for ego accomplishment. They're for assisting the spiritual teacher to widen their reach and also to serve more fully. And they, as well, can really engender trust in their students' minds.
You know, it's always seemed to me that there was a danger in becoming so enamored of a person's psychic skills that we maybe miss the more important message, which is, for me, it's all about love.
Yes, it's a really good point. And so we don't want to develop our psychic ability for that more self-serving or egotistical idea behind it, what, you know, that motivation. What we're doing here is we're letting the psychic ability come to us as a result of our work on ourselves, on our inner journey, on how we've progressed on a soul level. Cultivating spiritual practices, you know, that's a life journey. That's really, and same with our development of our psychic ability. This is a life journey. And fortunately, it's a long life. There's plenty of time. But I always like to, you know, encourage people to get started if they haven't already gotten started on it and take some small steps. Those will pretty soon, those will turn into big ones. And we don't have to do it alone. We can do it in groups like I love my women's spirituality groups that I attend. I've got, you know, various groups of women that we get together once a month or on the solstices or the equinoxes or the full moon or the new moon or whatever it is. And we can work on these changes together, and it's a really nice thing to do together with other people. And this is the same principle behind, you know, organized religion, is it's nice to work on our spiritual growth and development with others. It's a lovely thing to do. And then I think that for, you know, the little things or the big things in life, well, let's just say I'd like to start with gratitude. So gratitude is a really important principle. This is one of our foundational spiritual principles. And when we're talking about even the little things or the big things in life, everybody's got something that they can complain about. But we have a lot more that we can be grateful for. So there was, like I mentioned earlier, the prayer shows last month. We did a whole hour on gratitude, so we can refer back to that. But just in brief, it's kind of as a little summary. You know, gratitude really changes our heart. It's the view of the world. It's our outlook. It really shifts that. And we're very creative individuals. You know, we're in the image of the Creator. And when we are grateful, we create a different type of life. So the practice of gratitude is a really good one. I love to say thank you and appreciate people and tell them what I love about them as often as I can think of it. And it really changes my life, and it changes the way I feel about my day-to-day experiences. So it's a great thing to do. And when we express our appreciation instead of being critical or complaining, people are really happy to be with us.
That's true.
And they're happy to give more. So focusing on what you're grateful for rather than on what's wrong is a wonderful spiritual practice. And it really improves our own mood, and it makes us better company, and it leaves us feeling less stressed, and it gives us more peace of mind, and we become more loving and more compassionate and less selfish and, you know, better able to give and to serve. So I think that, you know, there's that beautiful spiritual tradition that comes out of Hawaii, which is to see everything as beautiful. And I think we have a slide on that, don't we?
I believe so.
Good. It's such a great thing, isn't it, to think of that, to see everything as beautiful. It's a lovely way to live a life.
I'm trying to find it.
Oh, maybe it's not there. Well, anyway, you'll just have to imagine it if it doesn't come up on the screen.
No, can't see it.
Think of a beautiful picture out in nature and see everything is beautiful. So another little last thought on gratitude is that Dr. Masaru Emoto, many of you have heard of him. He wrote The Hidden Messages of Water, a beautiful book that showed how the crystalline nature of water changes when we put different words on the surface of the water. And one of the words that made one of the most beautiful crystalline images was the word gratitude. And so Frank and I have our water cooler in the kitchen, and we put the bottle up on there, and I've got some clear packing tape that I've written the words on, which are gratitude and love and joy and peace and ease. And these words infuse the energy into the water, as Dr. Emoto showed, but they also remind us that that's what we're doing with our intentions. So whenever we change the water cooler, we put those words. So we just pull the tape off of the old water bottle and put it on the new water bottle. And it just helps to hold our focus in that direction. Because these are habits. These are thought habits. And our thought habits really have a big influence in our lives. So, you know, with gratitude, we turn on a light switch. Bing, there's light. It's amazing. We take a step. How grateful we can be for that. So many people don't have that ability or lose that ability or never had it at all. And, you know, we can remember what we did yesterday. What a great thing. That's just, there's just just so much to be grateful for. It's just unending. There's a very nice quote by a woman named Melody Beattie. She wrote Codependent No More, and she said, "Gratitude makes sense of our past. It brings us peace for today and creates a vision for tomorrow." Isn't that lovely?
Yes, that's really, really nice. It's reminding me of a quote that I read when I was very much younger. I remember when I was at college, I read some books by Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher.
And he
said, "The essence of all beautiful art, all great art, is gratitude."
Oh, isn't that nice?
And it's certainly been my experience that the more I've attended to gratitude, the more grateful I felt. And, once it does become like a regular thing to reflect on the things you're grateful for, you start becoming more and more aware. You know, it just goes deeper and deeper and spreads throughout, your being more and more.
Isn't it extraordinary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it certainly has changed my life.
Yeah, mine too.
So another foundational spiritual practice that I think is very core to our soul growth is kindness. And I loved that quote by the Dalai Lama, which perhaps you can find that one.
I can.
Good.
I have it.
Good. He said, "My religion is kindness." And I thought that was such a beautiful way to touch in with how deep that goes in that great spiritual teacher's mind and body. My religion is kindness. Lovely, isn't it?
It is.
And I think about, a mother's love. That's that first experience that we have, if we're lucky. And fortunately, most people on Earth, I think, do get that deep mother's love. There are some that don't, but many, many, many of us do. And that is so kind, that love. It's such a gentle touch, and it repairs the wrongs. Mother picks us up when we're crying or when we have a problem and makes our heart whole again. And that's what kindness does in the world, is it really makes our heart whole again. And there's that wonderful bumper sticker, practice random acts of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's such a great idea to keep floating around amongst our group consciousness, that we can smile at somebody, we can open a door for them, we can help a friend, we can help a neighbor plant a garden. Whatever it is, there's so many ways for us to be kind with each other.
Oh yeah, and I'm convinced it spreads as well, because when we see an act of kindness or we're receiving end of one, it seems to rekindle our belief in others and in ourselves.
Yeah.
And it helps us to believe in the humanity of other people. And especially if you're feeling a little down or a little cynical about things,
mm-hmm.
There's nothing like, witnessing or receiving acts of kindness to turn that around.
Yeah, or giving it.
Or giving it, yeah.
So another foundational spiritual practice is the Golden Rule. And I think we've got a slide there for that. Frank makes these beautiful slides for us every week. I'm so grateful. It really takes a team, to have a radio show.
Yeah, we do have that slide.
Yeah, I have a few friends who do it all on their own, and I feel so grateful to be able to have so much help. And Frank gets these beautiful photographs that he takes while he's out walking in nature, and I take some of them too, and we have a lovely time with our little camera. And then Frank has the program on the computer that lets him go ahead and put the words on top. So it's really nice. I'm really happy to have these. So I'm so thankful. So thank you, Frank. And so the Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So some version of this occurs in every single religion and every single spiritual tradition on earth, which is really great. And it's quite a thought to think of that really it's a core foundational spiritual practice. So do unto others. So that would be, offer your trust and trust them, or offer your respect and respect them, or offer your honesty, your fairness, your truthfulness, your consideration, your kindness. Those are wonderful ways for us to be with each other. And when we look at how we would like to be treated, we'd like to be treated that same way. And so that's what we want to do to others, do with when we're with others. So maybe we should go ahead and move into a little exercise on that idea right now. And this is the exercise of, how is this how I would like to be treated? So go ahead and take a couple of breaths and relax and sit back in your chair. And if you like, you can close your eyes. And of course, if you're driving a car, you're going to want to save this and all meditation exercises for a later time when you're not operating a motor vehicle or any other machinery. And then think back to an event of the day, something that felt a little discordant or separated, something that might have helped you to made you feel a little separated from love. And maybe you saw somebody who was homeless, or perhaps you saw an animal being treated roughly, or maybe you spent some time, you know, with a friend who was just too tired or overworked or something. And then see if you can't slip into their shoes. And ask yourself how you would like to be treated if you were in that situation. And then in your mind's eye, imagine the new scenario. What you would love to see happen. And let yourself remember this. When we treat each other how we'd like to be treated, we help ourselves to embrace the great spiritual principle of we are all one. Being gentle with others is like being gentle with ourselves. It feels so good. And it helps us to be gentle with our world too. So go ahead and let yourself return to your normal waking consciousness. Stretch your body a little bit. Take a couple of relaxed and easy breaths. And just open your eyes and return to the room and to your present moment consciousness. How was that for you, Tony?
It was really nice, but interestingly, I couldn't think of anything, you know, in my own experience from today. I mean, I spent most of today here with you. And then, you know, this morning I was teaching a class, and that was all really nice as well. And so I had to kind of like pick something from the news that I caught this morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I was having breakfast.
Yeah.
And there was a story about, this was in Washington, D.C., this black man was walking along the road, and suddenly these two policemen appeared and grabbed hold of him and started aggressively questioning him, and they didn't like his answers, and so they pushed him and the bags that he was carrying or something, or tried to push him into this police car to take him off, when this woman came out of one of the houses, and she happened to be an attorney, and it was in a really upscale part of the city. And she immediately harangued these police officers and said they had no right to do this. She'd witnessed the whole thing, and she had some, and someone was filming it on the telephone, and she got the guy out of the car and gave them a dressing down. And they tried to explain to her there'd been a burglary or something, and so he was immediately a suspect. And she said that, you know, there's no reason to suspect him. She knew this man. He'd worked in this neighborhood for 20 years. He obviously wasn't a thief. And in the end, they backed down, and
wow.
they let him go, and they disappeared.
Wow.
And I was thinking what it must be like just to be walking along the street and have, you know,
that kind of treatment,
that kind of thing start happening to you.
Yeah.
And especially if it's happening repeatedly, not just once, but again and again and again.
Oh, yeah.
So it was quite easy for me to imagine a very different scenario.
Right.
You know, of how two police officers could treat someone if they suspected them in that kind of a situation.
Yeah. Great example.
Yeah, and just again made me feel just so very grateful for, you know,
all the many blessings in our lives.
In my life, and how generally I'm treated by other people.
Yeah, me too.
Very fortunate.
Very fortunate indeed. Yeah.
So, thank you very much for that exercise,
oh,
for reminding
welcome.
Me of just how fortunate I am.
Another favorite practice that I like to use for my spiritual growth and development is to look within myself to see what my motivation might be for any action that I'm doing. And I like to ask myself, what is my motivation for doing this? And so maybe we can put up that slide, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
And then we can listen for an answer. You know, again, is this for ego gratification, or am I doing something because I was told to, or because somebody else thought it was a good idea, or is it something that really is coming from my inspiration or from my heart? Is it something that I want to do to help somebody, or, you know, is it good for my resume? This, you know, lets really a deeper perspective come to the surface. And what we're after here is, of course, thy will be my will, of really allowing ourselves to move into that deep service, that deep, what we're inspired to do, from a point of helping others and bringing more peace or harmony or loving kindness into the world. And so that's a nice thing to take a look at. And sometimes we might find ourselves with mixed motivations. For instance, we might be, you know, perhaps we've got a business in sales, and so maybe we're selling a product that we don't really believe in, but we're providing for our family or taking care of ourselves in a good way by earning a decent income. So that might be an example of a mixed motivation. And what we want to look at here is, you know, is it service or is it self-serving? So we may not need to change the activity that we're doing. Like, for instance, we might still be able to continue with selling that product, whatever it might be, but we just change the motivation behind the activity. Like, I am doing this to help serve the world in whatever way, and this is the best way that I can do that. So even if it's a product that we don't believe in, there are other people who do believe in it, and they would like that product to be made available to them. So we can look at it from that point of view, that we're providing a service for those who have a need for that. So just taking a look at the motivation that's behind what we're doing is a really great foundational spiritual practice that I like to do.
That's a really interesting idea, because I'd never really thought of that before, the same action can have a very different impact if you change the motivation behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it makes absolute sense, because on some level we're all psychic.
Yeah.
So we all kind of like pick up somehow the motivation behind what the person is doing.
Yeah.
And it's been my experience that if someone hurts me by mistake, it doesn't feel as damaging emotionally as someone, you know, deliberately setting out or in my mind to cause me some damage. And so if we can all come from a place of gratitude or kindness or love, then our actions are going to have a very different impact on the world.
Yes. Beautiful example. Really good.
Well, thank you, Josephine.
Mm-hmm. So another practice is very much in the realm of habit, and this is weeding out negative or fear-based thoughts or emotions. It's something like 95% of the thoughts that we had yesterday are the same ones that we have today. And if we let the negative ones persist, they crowd out the positive ones, and then they interfere not only with our happiness and well-being, but also with our spiritual growth. So some examples of these, you know, negative or fear-based thoughts or emotions, and I'm sure that most all of us have had these. I know I myself have certainly spent my time with these. Fear of failure, or self-loathing, or self-sabotage, or being self-defeating in one way or another. And, you know, the more we are critical of ourselves, the more we're critical of others. We've all done this. You know, we are who we are, but really we can love and accept ourselves all the same. You know, I had a very interesting experience it was about a year ago, I think. I was sitting with a dear friend in the car, and we were talking, and she was just, she was feeling so terrible in herself. She had, you know, she's a hoarder, and so she was trying to move, and so she had all this stuff, and she was like, I'm such a terrible person, I have all this hoarding. And then we got to really looking, kind of thinking about it, and we just burst out laughing, because, I mean, really, how bad is that? I mean, it's not like she's murdered anybody, you know, it's just that she's got a propensity to gather nice things. That's okay, you know, it's not so darn terrible after all. And I think that most of the time when we're being critical of ourselves, it's for something like that that's really actually quite innocent. And so if we can get it in perspective, we can let it go. And, you know, it's really a rare culture these days that's not been conditioned by, where, you know, we've all been so conditioned by our family and our religion and our friends and our tribe really, to think negatively about ourselves. But what we need to see is that focusing on what's wrong brings more of what's wrong. It doesn't correct anything. You know, there's that wonderful old saying, what we fear is what we attract. And on the other hand, focusing on what's right brings more of what's right to us. So that brings me to our next slide, which perhaps you could put that up, Tony. And this comes from the HUNA code, which I got from that book by Max Freedom Long, Mastering Your Hidden Self. I'm not Max Freedom Long, I'm sorry, Serge Kahuli King, Mastering Your Hidden Self. And he studied the work of Max Freedom Long in Polynesia and came up with this wonderful code of seven different principles. And the main one is, the top one, the first one that's listed is, the world is what you think it is. And so that's our slide, the world is what you think it is, and it comes from the HUNA code. And the sort of further thought on that is that I create my own personal experience of reality through my beliefs, expectations, attitudes, desires, fears, judgments, feelings, and consistent or persistent thoughts and actions. By changing my thinking, I change my world. And so the world is what we think it is a really important principle, I think, when it comes to our spiritual practices. So one of the things that one little sentence that I learned, I'm sure some of you have heard this, because you're no beginners here for the most part. I think that we're all kind of experienced on this path. So, but it never hurts us to revisit some of the basics. And so that's why I wanted to do this topic today of our foundational spiritual practices, because sometimes we forget. I forget. You know, sometimes I forget to be grateful. Sometimes I forget to be kind. Sometimes, you know, I forget to remember the golden rule even. You know, these things happen, or I might slip into a different motivation for what I'm doing. But when I do have negative thoughts and I'm finding myself thinking them, sometimes I'll remember this little phrase, which is, you know, thank you for sharing. I say that to myself. This thought used to serve me in some way, but it no longer serves me now. And I let it go. We're very creative. Like I mentioned earlier, we are created in the image of the Creator. So we want to keep that in mind. And we want to work with and harness our thoughts to create more good in the world. And dwelling on the negative adds more energy to the negative. So these are just like habits. And one of the things that I think is a habit that a lot of people have is the anger habit. And this is a habit where that's just the first response, as we just jump right into anger. And as I've looked in my own life, I have a Cancer moon, so that means I have to feel things right away. I can't put it off to feel for later. And what I've noticed is that if I really pay attention to my feelings, always before anger comes sadness. Now, some of us get so used to just moving right into anger as a defense mode that we don't even catch that whisper of sadness that comes first. But I think that if we really look deeply and if we're really earnest and honest with ourselves and we really take the time to do our inner research, if we look at what was there just before the anger came flooding in, we can almost always find sadness. And sadness, I think personally, is a little easier to work with. It means that we've had our feelings hurt, that somebody has treated us in a way that's different from how we would have liked to have been treated. And then we can go on and move through into forgiveness or whatever else we need to do. When we jump quickly into anger, then we've got that extra layer of emotion to work with. It's another aspect that we need to have cleared. So if we can just stop it and catch it at the sadness, that sometimes is a way that we can move through these negative thoughts a little more gracefully. Another thought habit that a lot of people choose is to be offended. And it is, you know, again, it's a habit. It's something that we just sort of, oh, there they go again, you know. Oh, once again, I'm being whatever. And these patterns can sometimes get set up very early in childhood. So taking time to really look at these patterns, remembering back when I felt this way before, and did I feel this way a time before that, and did I feel this way a time even before that, can help us to take a look at the patterns that we've set up in our emotional nature and allow us to begin to, you know, crack those a little bit free and start to move them a little bit and start to move beyond them. Another really big habit that is very common in the world is the worry habit. And I do it, you know.
I know about this one.
Most everybody that I know does it. But I am getting better as the years go along. Sometimes I'll have a few years where I'm not so good, but I do try to work on the worry habit to just let that one go. Because like I said earlier, you know, 95% of our thoughts that we had today are the same ones that we had yesterday. And we can wind up really focusing and perseverating on these worries that are often about something that's in the past that we can't necessarily change, or something in the future, and who knows what the future is about. The same friend that I mentioned earlier, she's got such a brilliant way of looking at the world. And one day we were on our way to do something, and she was having this imaginary conversation in advance, and she stopped herself and said, you know what, I was just thinking, you know, I was thinking all these horrible things that might come about and this conversation that I would have with this imaginary person, and I was getting myself worked up into a right stew, you know. And then she said, I mean, really, there's no evidence that that's going to happen. And indeed, when we arrived at the destination, the exact opposite of her worries came true. It was a beautiful experience. And so it's kind of funny how we can sort of let ourselves slip into these little stories in our mind that don't really serve us or anyone else, and they just add more stress into our life. And so it's a really good idea to start noticing your thoughts, and a beautiful way to do that is through meditation. That's really the way we train our minds to take a look. And it just allows us to step back and observe our mental patterns, and we don't have to be held hostage by these negative, counterproductive thoughts that are festering like a broken record in our brains. We can, you know, train ourselves to just replace them. And one of the things that I like to do is to make a list of thoughts that I'd rather think instead. Or I get out my journal, and, you know, sometimes, especially if I've been finding myself worrying in the deep wee hours of the night, I'll go ahead and get it all out on paper. I just write it all down, everything that's bothering me, and then after a little while, I can start to begin to round the corner. You know, I can move ahead and acknowledge that, you know, first of all, I have to acknowledge the truth of my feelings to myself, and then I can consciously move ahead and start to bring in some of these higher perspectives or some of these other ideas that I've been studying, some of the spiritual practices, and then I start to put all that down too. I get that all down on the paper too. And then in the morning I might do something like read back through it and see where my negative mind was and just acknowledge it and honor it. And then I might do something like, perhaps I might ceremonially, you know, with a little burning bowl, take a match to those papers that I want to let go of and keep the ones that I want to remember, the more positive spiritual truth aspects. And just to sort of signify to myself, to really communicate deep into my body mind, that I want to let go of that negative stuff and change my perspective to the more spiritual truth. And when we change our perspective like that, you know, that's when miracles occur. That's what the teachings of the Course in Miracles is that a change in perspective is a miracle. And it really is. So we can really step into these transformational moments when we do that.
Oh, well, I just have to concur there, Josephine. I mean, I do know how good it is to let go of burdensome thoughts, especially the ones we didn't even know we were carrying.
Yeah.
It makes it feel so much better, so much freer, more joyful.
Yeah,
and
me
so
too.
So for me, it's really important to spend some time letting my inner thoughts come to the surface and letting them go. And something else that's been really helpful for me in, about this worry thing, because I think I have been quite a worrier, is this idea that we just don't know, and that sometimes things that look like they might be a cause for concern, actually, it could be about the best thing that's ever happened to us. And I think a lot about the injuries that you sustained, and then looking back, they turned out to be blessings in disguise.
Yes.
And so now I'm much more likely, when something happens that I wasn't expecting, you know, and suddenly, oh, everything seems to be uncertain, to think that, well, this may be the best thing that's now happening, rather than this is something that I need to worry about.
Yes, you know, my dear friend Einar wrote a piece not too long ago on red lights and green lights, and his main point was that, you know, if something has happened that has stopped us on our forward progress a little bit, then maybe it's a good idea. Maybe it's for our safety. Maybe it's like a red light in traffic that has just slowed us for a few moments in our journey so that we can go ahead and miss whatever obstacle was lying ahead otherwise. Or, you know, we just never know. And so sometimes these things are just really helpful little delays. And I've gotten to the same place in my own mind, Tony, like you were just describing, how it's a good idea sometimes for us to just look at these hurdles or these negative experiences as, maybe it's not so negative. You know, there was that wonderful story of Perhaps that I just love, which was that it's an old tale. And it goes like this. There was a man who had a son, and his son and he were farmers, and they were living in a village. And one day, his mare, his horse that he used to help farm the land, a herd of wild horses had come by in the night, and the stallion had broken down the fence and freed the mare. And the mare got out and ran with the herd and was gone. And he got out in the morning, he saw, oh dear, the fence is broken and the horse is gone. And the neighbors came over and said, oh, this is so terrible, I'm so sorry this happened. Oh my gosh, this is a horrible tragedy, you've lost your horse and your fence is broken. And he said, well, perhaps. And then a few days later, the stallion and the mare, and I guess no, it was actually more like a few months later, the stallion and the mare came back, and the mare was now pregnant. And he went ahead and opened up the gate, and the mare came in, and several of the other horses came into the corral that he had fixed, keeping the mare company, and he was able to sort of slip out. It happened in the night, and he slipped out and closed the gate, and the rest of the wild horses, excuse me, with the stallion, ran off into the hills when he came out and closed the gate. And then all the neighbors came over in the morning and said, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. Look at all these horses you've got. And several of them are pregnant, and a number of them have little babies by their side. And this is a great, great thing. How lucky you are. And he said, oh, well, perhaps. And then I guess a year or so later, his son was helping him to train some of the young horses, and they were also working with some of the wild mares to train them so they would be able to be ridden. And as they were working with the horses, his son got bucked off of one of the horses, and he took a bad fall, and he broke his leg. And the neighbors all came over, and they said, oh, this is terrible, your poor son, he's got a broken leg, what a horrible thing. And the man said, well, perhaps. And then a little while later, a few weeks later, his son was wearing this, you know, cast on his leg and was all bandaged up and walking with a stick to help him get around. An army came through, and they collected all the young, able men to go off and to go to war. And, of course, they couldn't take his son because his son was incapacitated with his broken leg, and so he was left behind, and the army went on without him. And all the neighbors came over and said, oh, this is such a wonderful thing. You get the picture.
I do. But it's so true, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so often the things that we imagine are going to be really awful turn out to be nothing of the sort.
They turn out to be blessings in disguise.
And often blessings in disguise.
Yeah. Well, it's a very good teaching story, isn't it? I love that little story of perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. So some of our negative hurdles that come up, you know, I mean, sometimes they can be quite severe, and we can really start to perseverate on them, and we think, oh, this is terrible. What's going on? Oh, my, And when that sort of thing happens, I like to kind of look at changing the channel in my brain. You know, how can I change the channel? And so at the very least, I might go see a movie or something, you know, to actually put some different images into my mind, put something else in that brain of mine. Or maybe I'll go visit a friend and hear some of their stories, their life stories. That can kind of help me to change my own channel. Traveling is an excellent way for us to change our channel, to really have new experiences and to see new things and to have a whole different perspective. And, you know, just anything that we can do to get some new information in our heads. I have found in the past that if something is really, really bad and I really feel devastated, that for me personally, getting in water can really help. You know, just getting under the water in the ocean or in a lake or in a swimming pool, really anywhere. At the very least, taking a shower or getting in the bathtub. But just getting in water somehow really helps me to dissolve or liberate that that feeling of whatever negativity it is that I'm carrying. And that, you know, kind of harkens back to what we were saying earlier about that wonderful book, The Hidden Aspects of Water, where we can use water in a way to really change the energy. I mean, just by putting the words on the water, we can change the energy of the water. But there's another, just like sort of a little interesting FYI, was that in science recently they've found that there is actually a fourth phase of water. You know how we have water as a solid and water as ice and water as a liquid, the way we normally know it, as flowing and running water. And then also there is water as vapor, like steam or up in the clouds. But there's a fourth phase that they've recently discovered, which is they found it from being in the deep, deep ocean where there's a lot of pressure deep at the bottom of the ocean. And usually water freezes, as you probably know, at 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 degrees centigrade. But deep in the ocean where that high pressure is, water stays liquid below those 32 degrees Fahrenheit. But it's a little more organized. It has properties of both ice and of that regular liquid water, which is quite interesting, I think. It's more like half liquid, half ice, but it's moving. It's not solid. It's not crystalline, but it's more organized like a crystal. So I thought that was kind of incredible.
That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I thought so too. So getting underwater, for some reason, that really helps me to just jump into the water. And another thing that I'll sometimes do is I'll go out and go to the beach and bury myself in the sand. I think there's something about the crystalline nature of all of those little sand granules that just sort of helps me to purify myself, and also the weight of the sand on my body. And I've heard that sometimes with autistic children or children who are differently abled and troubled in one way or another, that just the body pressure of a hug can help. And I had an experience where I had a very bad injury once, and a couple that I didn't know came up to my aid, and the older woman just, when she saw that I was having a really hard time grappling with my reality, she just grabbed me in a tight hug and just held me. And there was something about that tightness of that hug that just really helped me to change the channel in my head and to begin to move into a new way of being. So sometimes we need to do something that's a little more, you know, physical or a little more, take some action to really get beyond some of these negative hurdles in our minds. And, of course, one of the very best ones of all is to go help someone. So whenever I'm feeling really blue or really down or really, you know, not quite in the right sorts, I try to see if there's somebody that I can help in some way. You know, maybe I know somebody who's been working really hard. Maybe I'll go over and help them with their sculpture or whatever and just keep them company or, you know, see if there's something that my neighbor needs from the market, you know, and just call her up and say, I'm going to go to the store. Would you like, is there anything I can pick up for you today? You know, something like that. Just to do something helpful. It's a wonderful way for us to go ahead and change the channel in our mind to get ourselves onto a more positive thought form.
Yes, that's very, very good advice. Thank you, Josephine.
Sure. And then some years back, I got this wonderful T-shirt. And it was of a man dancing with a frog and a bear and a dolphin and a cockroach, and they were all doing the can-can, you know, kicking their legs up. And the T-shirt said underneath it, seeking enlightenment, lighten up. And I think we have a slide on that, one last beautiful slide from Frank today.
Oh, yeah, this will be the last one.
Yeah. And, you know, a very dear, very wise friend once told me that, you know, we can look at the darkness in the world. We can, you know, check out the darker, deeper, horrible aspects. We can look into war and poverty and you know, man's inhumanity to man and cruelty and all of those things. We can look deep into those, and we will find more deep, horrible, awful things than we could ever imagine possible. Or we can look up. And I thought that was so profound, to realize that instead we can focus on what's right and good and beautiful and find new heights of appreciation and gratitude for the many blessings in our lives. And when we think about how the world is what we think it is and how we create our own personal experience of reality through our beliefs, our expectations, our attitudes, our desires, our fears, our judgments, our feelings, and our consistent or persistent thoughts and actions, and that by changing our thinking we can change our world, is really quite a profound idea. So I really like to, whenever possible, to focus on looking up.
Well, what a great place to end, Josephine, because we are just about out of time.
Oh, good.
So let me just say that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at steppingtomagic.com. just click on the top link for radio. And if you have any questions for us or would like to be included in our weekly newsletter, simply go to the contact page of Josephine's website. So, Josephine, are there any parting words that you'd like to say?
Yes, well, it's always just so much of a joy to be in this arena where we can meet together and discuss these things and think about them and mold them over and try them on. And many of them for myself, you know, these are things that I might have learned long ago, but they always are worth revisiting. So, as you all know, I realize that I like to promote our acceptance and our use of our natural birthright of psychic ability. And we all have it. It's our feeling sense. It's our sense of knowing. And our spiritual growth, as I mentioned, is like the guard at the gate for our psychic ability, and it keeps us safe as we venture into the mystery of our inner knowing. And as we develop our spirituality, we simultaneously develop our psychic ability and vice versa. And as we work on either one of these two, we as well find our true purpose in life. They just all three are intrinsically interconnected. And when we work on one, the other two are being developed at the same time. And I like to call this the great triple blessing. Our psychic ability, our spirituality, and our true purpose are one. And so in closing, I'd like to thank you all so very much for giving me the gift of your time. And I'd like to finish with this little blessing. As our gifts are given in love, they are received in love. And we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And so it is.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine.
You're welcome.
As always, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. And I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about everyday spirituality. This has been show number SG-2.14. And if you have enjoyed the show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. We look forward to having all of you join us again next week when Josephine will be talking about spiritual practices for creating ourselves anew.
Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.
Mm-hmm.